Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim's back with us. This is from Pram Mountain in the Ozarks, full of good things. Glory
yes.
to God.
And we're doing what Jesus told us to do.
That's right.
Jesus told us if we want to know when He's coming, for us to watch the fig tree, that's Israel.
Yeah.
And to watch all the trees, those are the nations of prophecy. And so that's exactly what we're doing because God, here's what prophecy does, true prophecy. It tells you the end from the beginning. The book of Genesis is the beginning. In fact, the name of it in the Hebrew Bible is in the beginning, Bereshit. So from the beginning, we're going to find one of the nations we can watch from the very beginning is Iran. And we're taking a lot of our steps in watching Iran because we're going to move over into present-day Iran, Islam, and jihad. So, and then even past that to Ezekiel 38 and 39. So we're doing this for a purpose. We're watching today from the beginning. We're watching how Iran started. And we found that it actually started when Noah and his three sons got off the boat. And in Genesis chapter 10, there are the nations, the 70 nations. And we find that of the son of Shem, one of Noah's three sons was Shem. And he had a son named Elam, E-L-A-M. Mm-hmm. And Elam is an ancient name for Iran. It's also called Persia in the Bible. Elam and Persia in the Bible.
Wow.
And so now the nations rebelled. We saw that under Nimrod's influence, they rebelled. And so then God has a plan. He already had it already. He didn't just say, oh, Nimrod.
Think about it.
They're built, what? Do you know? I told them to do this and they replenish the earth. They go build a tower. No, he knew already. So he had a man chosen to bring forth a people that are going to reveal God to the nations. God loves the nations. But they've rebelled against him. So now he has a plan and he has a man of faith, Abraham. And that man, through him, he's going to redeem the nations. So Genesis chapter 11, that tells us about the fall of the nations. And Genesis chapter 12 tells us about Abraham and his call. So Abraham comes to us, and let's read about him in Genesis chapter 12. I trust you have your Bibles. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord, that's capital L-O-R-D, so we know it's Jehovah, had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Abram's country is Ur of the Chaldees. You are Ur of the Chaldees. It is the place and the area of ancient Iran. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, Iran and Iraq, around in that area. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So all the families of the earth are the nations of the earth. And in Abraham coming, and from Abraham came Isaac and then Jacob. And from Jacob's 12 sons comes the nation of Israel. And all God's revelation comes down through the nation of Israel. He reveals himself to us through that nation. This book right here, written by Jews, it came to us, the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And we see in the writings of Paul that the Shekinah glory and the covenants and everything came through them. So all families of the earth are blessed through them. Jehovah led.
So is that why they've been so persecuted?
That's why they're so persecuted, because who's the persecutor?
Yeah.
Satan himself. And always trying to stop God's plans from coming to pass. Mm-hmm. Now we say Jehovah, that's really not the way to say it. It's written in the Hebrew with four Hebrew letters, Yod, He, Vav, He. And it means He was, He is to come. He's eternal. So those four letters are really difficult to pronounce. Nobody knows for sure how you pronounce it. And they used to pronounce it once a year on Yom Kippur in the temple, but they don't have a temple anymore, and only the high priest pronounced it. So we just guess. Some people say Yahweh, some say Jehovah, but I'm sure it's all a guess. Jehovah God led Abraham to the promised land. He promised him a land. In the land, the promised land, Abraham served the true God of Noah and Adam and Shem. He had amazing increase in his possessions. Genesis 13:2, Abraham's in the promised land, and it says, "And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold."
That was because he served the true God.
He served the true God. Abraham's nephew Lot, whom Abraham had brought with him, also had great possessions. Genesis 13:5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could
not dwell together.
Mm-hmm. So rich, so many cattle, so many sheep, so many goats. They can't live in the huge land. They can't live in it together. And their herdsmen started striving over the pastures, started fighting. Because of their abundant possessions, the two could no longer live within the same grazing space for their animals. They had to separate. And Abraham gave Lot first choice. And this is Genesis 13:8. And Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If you depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left."
Abraham was sure that either way he was blessed.
You're right. It didn't matter where he was.
He was blessed.
He knew that. Yeah. And Lot, being Lot, he thought, maybe I better depend on the watered grass, you know.
I'm going to take the best part.
Yeah, I'm going to take the best part. And he did. He took the land over toward what was the Jordan River, which was a well-watered at that time plain. Now, it changed because of sin. We'll talk about that later. So Lot traveled eastward and pitched his tent toward the city of Sodom.
That was a mistake.
Does that give you a clue?
That was a mistake.
Where there was exceeding sin. Eventually, he moved into that wicked city and became an official in the city gate. Now, if you sat in the city gate, that's where every city in those ancient times had big walls around them. They had a main gate, and there's where their they would have their seat of government. And so he was one who sat in the gate. Several years after Lot left Abraham, Sodom was besieged and captured by the kings of the Fertile Crescent. Now we're going to find their names here in Genesis 14:1. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar. Shinar in the Bible is Babylon, so it would be Iraq. Arioch, king of Elasar, and Chedorlaomer, king of Elam. We know what Elam is, right? It's Iran. So Chedorlaomer is the king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations. So here we find 1, 2, 3, 4 kings. These made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinar, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the valley of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. The Bible calls it the Salt Sea, and in Israel, that's what they call it. Yam is sea, and Melech is salt. But we have another name for it. We call it the Dead Sea. And it's dead. Everything in it is dead because it doesn't have an outlet because of salt. This is the first recorded war in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And Iran, is involved. Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, was the leader of a coalition of kings from the same area Abraham had departed at God's command. God told Abraham, you leave this land here. and you come to the promised land eventually. The land where he was, Ur of the Chaldees, in only these 10 generations, they become idol worshipers. Mm. And in fact, in Jewish traditional history, Abraham's own father was an idol maker. That's how he made his living. And according to the Jewish history, Abraham broke up the idols of his father's shop. So that's what history says, and we don't know if that's true or not because it's not written in the Bible, but there's every evidence of it. At least we do know that that area had...
He was an idol maker or
yes,
worshiper?
Yes, Abraham's father was an idol maker.
Maker.
Oh, that's how he made his business. And so here we have 12 years, five principal cities of the Jordan Plain, five of them. I said four, there were five. 12 years, the five principal cities of the Jordan Plain. Those are the ones that are all around the Dead Sea and the Jordan Plain. And one of them is Sodom and one is Gomorrah. They're city-states like. Mm-hmm. And they had been, Chedorlaomer over from Iran for 12 years ago, had come over there and conquered them, held them in conquest and said, you got to pay me taxes from now on. You got to give gold and silver to me. So they'd done it for 12 years. And then they decide they're going to rebel. And in the 13th year, this confederacy of kings, headed up by the king of Elam, came down to put down the insurrection. What are they? They're not paying me their tariffs. They're not giving me their gold and silver. So from over around present-day Iraq and Iran, then they're going to come down into what's present-day the Holy Land, and they're going to tell those kings down there that they want their money.
Pay up.
Yeah, pay up. So they smote, the kings of the east smote Sodom and Gomorrah and took all their goods, their food, and they took many of their people as hostages. Hmm. Now here's the king of Elam, Iran, taking hostages. So we find from the Bible, in the very first war in the Bible, Iran is involved and they're taking hostages.
Hmm. First war.
Yeah, the first war. So what did they do when they took over the American embassy in 1979? They took hostages.
That's right.
So they've been taking hostages for a long time. So as we go back and study the beginning there, we find that they took hostages. Among the captives that they took, and this is where they made their big mistake, was Abraham's nephew Lot. Word of the captives. They shouldn't have had a...
They trespassed God's man.
They did.
His family.
Now, Abraham, he's living down in Hebron. He's not in the area where the battle's going on. But word of the capture reaches Abraham. There comes someone...
I like Abraham.
Yeah. There comes someone to him from the battle and said, you know what? They got Lot. Mm-hmm. So what does Abraham
don't
do?
Don't mess with covenant man.
Don't mess with covenant people. Abraham took 318 trained servants from his own house, armed them, and pursued the invading kings. And he started out where he was in Hebron to the south. He went up through the hills of Judea, which we would today call even part of the West Bank. And he went on up through Galilee in the north. It was a long flight with these 318 trained servants of Abraham, and they're chasing these powerful kings, the superpowers of the earth. These 318 trained servants and Abraham are chasing, following them. And so, up at Dan in the north, he overtook them. The 318 servants triumphed with Abraham. It doesn't matter if you've got a covenant. It doesn't matter what the number is.
The natural elements.
No. Just think of Israel. They have a covenant with God, and all the years Satan's been trying to wipe them out. Here was Hitler.
Nations have been trying to wipe them out.
And here was Hitler. He was going to wipe them out. He was establishing, he said he was doing the will of Christ. Of course, we know he wasn't. He was going to establish a perfect people, make a perfect people for 1,000 years. 12 years, he's in a dungeon and he's dead. And in 1945, out from the ovens come the Jews. And in 1948, they're back in their homeland. Mm-mm. It didn't matter that he had that powerful Gestapo and that powerful army. No, they had a covenant. So it is with Abraham and
they
God.
Survived.
He has a covenant. And so here they come, and they overtake all these superpowers of the East, one of them being Elam. And Abraham divides his band at night and with tactics, you know, flanking them, and captures them. He chased the kings to the north of Damascus. And at the north of Damascus, he completely destroyed the powerful coalition of kings in one night.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know what happened after that. Genesis 14:7. He's coming back from the great conqueror. He's conquered. So the king of Sodom comes out to meet him. And in Sodom, you know, that's the wicked city. Where do we get the name Sodom? Sodomite?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodomy. Sodomy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a terrible, terrible act. And it comes from the name of Sodom. And the king of Sodom went out to meet Abraham after his return. We're reading in Genesis 14:7. And the king of Sodom went out.
Now, this says 17, but it's 7.
17, excuse me. Okay. 17. It's really 17.
All right.
Genesis 14:17. Thank you for correcting me.
Well, it's your paper, after
occasionally,
all.
Occasionally, every once in a while, I'll get things wrong.
Yes, that's right.
Such as the Methuselah being the grandfather rather than the father of Noah. So here with Genesis 14:17. And the king of Sodom, this reminds me of something about the Amish people. This seems like a stretch, doesn't it, to go to here to the Amish. You know, the people that ride around on horse and buggies and things. Mm-hmm. Well, when we were, when I was working for Kenneth Hagin Ministries and my kids were little, we had a lot of contact with Amish people. They lived near us. So an Amish girl, they went to school till the eighth grade, and then they held them at home until they were like 8 years old. Then they went to the eighth grade, then they went out working for people. So she came and took care of my children. But the Amish people, you know those beautiful Amish quilts, handmade, that
yes.
people really love to have, they're never perfect. They leave a little corner of it that doesn't match. Like one little square is not the right color it should be.
Is that right?
Yep. To show that man is not perfect. Only God is perfect.
I knew that.
So there you have it. I could make a mistake here. And you point it out if I do. Such as Methuselah was the grandfather of Noah. Now, Genesis 14:17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet Abraham after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. And of the kings that were with him in the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, who has delivered thine enemies into your hand. And he gave him tithes of all. So coming back from the victory, Melchi in Hebrew is king. Tzedek is righteousness or righteous. So he's the king of righteousness. But we also know here that he was the king of Salem. So he has come out of Jerusalem and he's the high priest there. Now it says in the New Testament in Hebrews, he had neither father nor mother. That doesn't mean he's some kind of a UFO guy, alien. He's not a priesthood after the Aaronic priesthood. He's not a priest. He didn't inherit it from his father. He didn't inherit it from his mother. God appointed him a priest. And we find out that from Jewish history that Melchizedek is Shem. He's the son of Noah. And he is the king. You'll find that in the Chumash. And he is Shem, and he is the high priest of the area that is now Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a very special place to God. And so Shem, or Melchizedek, his title, comes out, and he blesses Abraham. And he brings bread and wine. That's the covenant meal.
Mm-hmm.
And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed and be blessed by the Most High God who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Abraham tithed to the priest. And in the New Testament where it says, there he receives tithes, Jesus, after the order of Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm.
Here men on earth receive tithes, but there he receives them. Now in verse 21, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to yourself. They captured my people. Let me have the people back and you can have all the spoil. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me. Let them take their portion. So the king of Sodom, the evil place, says, I'm going to give you all these goods and bless you. He said, oh, no, you're not. Because only God has made me wealthy. I'm not taking a shoelace from you, lest you say you've done this for me. Within a few years' time, Abraham had to fight the people of Elam, where he had come from as a young man. God gave him power over the kings from his homeland. In its biblical history, early biblical history, Iran faced the covenant man of God, Abraham. Now, you maybe didn't draw all these historical dots. We're going to be drawing the dots now as we go into tomorrow and then next week. Because there were times when Elam was a great blessing to Israel. So they have both things in their background. And we'll be talking. I know so many Iranian people who are so beautiful. They're very beautiful. And, you know, they're not Arabic. And, of course, there are those who don't go along with those imams and those ayatollahs. And a lot of them are here in the United States, and they've fled away from how things are over here. So it's still a choice, but it'll be a governmental choice for the nation of Iran, but it's a people choice, individual choice for the people of Iran.
I agree. Isn't that interesting? Did you get it all? Repeat it back to me.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.